Good afternoon. There are two things that Holy Wednesday is remembered for. A lot of people call it Spy Wednesday, and a lot of churches do, denominations do. And the thing they remember the most is that this is the day that Judas decided he was going to betray Jesus. But I don't think Jesus thought that was the most important event of that day at all. I think he thinks this is the most important event, because it's such insight into the normal heart that's been impacted by the true gospel. Let me give you a little history. We've looked at this passage a lot over the years, and so it's not, you can't make up things that are new, but I just ask the Lord, Lord, speak some things to me. But this is from Luke chapter 8. The first time we see this woman, Mary of Bethany. And Jesus was eating with a bunch of Pharisees. And this woman is called a sinner. And this is Martha's sister, Mary. And Martha and Mary and Lazarus were one of Jesus' favorite family. But at this point, I guess that Mary's not walking with the Lord at all. But she becomes one of the casualties, in a good way, of the love of Christ. And so she comes into this setting. If you're a prostitute, going into a dinner with a bunch of Pharisees is not what you want to do. But she did, and she fell in the back, like behind him at his feet. She was weeping and wiped his feet with her hair and with oil, spikenard oil. And this is the story where it says, Jesus said, those who are forgiven much love much. And we're told in the next chapter that in this encounter, she had seven demons she was set free from just by encountering the love of God in Christ. And that was her beginning. Every time you see Mary of Bethany in the gospel, she's at the feet of Jesus. One of them is Luke chapter 10, when Jesus is in their home again, and Mary's sitting at the feet of Jesus listening, and Martha's running around serving, and he says, Mary's chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. And the resurrection, she was the first person Jesus revealed himself to as risen from the dead. Not his mother Mary, not Peter or John, but Mary of Bethany, the former prostitute, who loved much because she had been forgiven so much. She understood the gospel. And she was the one who ran and told Peter and John. They heard it from Mary. And then on Saturday, so last Saturday, 6 days before today, or 6 days before his crucifixion, they're eating in the home of Lazarus not long right after he had been healed, raised from the dead. And they're eating in his home, and Jesus is there with his disciples. And it says, and Mary, the sister, therefore took a pound of very costly, genuine spikenard ointment and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the ointment. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was intending to betray him, said, why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? Now he said this, not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. As he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put in it. Jesus therefore said, let her alone, in order that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not have me always. Now he said, leave her alone, let her keep it. So what's happening here, she anointed his feet when she first encountered him with oil, poured some oil on his feet. And then now, time later, after Lazarus, her brother's raised from the dead, 6 days before, it says in verse 1, therefore, in verse chapter 12, 6:1, therefore 6 days before the Passover, Jesus was in Bethany at Lazarus' home. Jesus says to them when they get angry, when Judas gets angry that she's pouring out this oil, Jesus said, leave her alone, let her keep it. It really fascinates me. Let her keep it for the day of my burial. So she didn't pour it all out. She just poured out some on his feet, just like she had done earlier, some years before. And Jesus was saying, no, you can't have this and sell it to the poor. Let her keep it for my burial. So now the passage that Bracken read. It's one of my favorite places in the scripture. Now the feast of the Passover of unleavened bread and unleavened bread was 2 days off, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to seize him by stealth and kill him. For they were saying, "Not during the festival, lest there be a riot among the people." While he was in Bethany, at the home of Simon the leper, and reclining at the table, there came a woman with an alabaster vial of costly perfume, a pure nard, and she broke the vial and poured it over his head, so that she had anointed his feet with oil twice, but now she broke the vial and poured it all over his head. And some were indignant, more than just Judas, but others now were indignant, remarking, saying the same thing about it could have been sold for 300 denarii, which is a year's wage, and given to the poor. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you bother her? She's done a good deed to me." And he talks about the poor, and in verse 8 he says, "She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for the burial." And this remarkable statement, "Truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, that also which this woman has done shall be spoken of in memory of her." It's interesting to me that that doesn't happen. I've never watched an evangelist share the gospel and then reference this story. And maybe that's one of the reasons that sometimes we have people who pray the prayer but never walk the walk. Because part of the story here is that when they said, "Why this waste?" Jesus is saying to them that when you've heard the gospel, when you've really understood the gospel, you're prepared to waste your life on Jesus. Now, the interesting thing to me, there's so much here and we don't have time. This interesting thing to me is, again, that John 12, when Jesus said, "Let her keep it for the day of my burial." Well, the day of his burial wasn't Mark 14. He's not dead yet. And yet, after anointing his feet with oil 4 days earlier, he's staying in Simon the leper's home, and she can't help herself but to make her way there and to break the alabaster vial and pour the rest of it on his head. There's a tradition among Jewish women in the days of Christ, I don't know if it's still true, that they would save up as part of their own vows this spikenard oil, which was very costly. And some have said that like today's worth would be like $50,000 or $70,000 or something. And on the wedding night, you know, because they're engaged for a year, they're called married for a year, but they're just engaged. And on the wedding night, when they finally go into the building that he's built for their wedding night, the bride would kneel before him, break the alabaster vial, and pour the oil over his head, as saying, "You know, I've given my life to you. I've wasted everything on you." But you see, I'm thinking that maybe Mary didn't realize, because the disciples didn't, that Jesus was about to die. But when Jesus made that statement, "Let her keep it," about the burial, she realized, this is how far his love will go. He will give up every drop of who he is for his love for us. Of course, that's what he would do. That's what the love of God does. It's interesting. You can see its example in the fact that Jesus is having, when she first met him, he's eating dinner with the Pharisees. Those are the ones who are going to kill him. And then he's sitting with Simon the leper. Now, was he just called that because he had leprosy for a long time? I guess, but he'd been healed, I guess. But the point is, he was referred to in the Bible as Simon the leper, well-known leper, and Jesus is there. Because his love will take him anywhere, everywhere, as far as it can possibly go. There are no untouchables. But I believe that when she got it, that he was going to die, that the love of God in Christ was so strong that he was going to give his life for us, that she could not wait for him to be buried. 4 days later, she's there again, doing the same thing again, but this time breaking it open and pouring it all on his head. That's what you do too when you anoint someone as king or whatever. Disciples were talking about her wasting, but Jesus didn't consider it a waste at all. He said, this is what the gospel produces. This kind of desperate heart for him. You know, Jim Elliot was one of the missionaries who was killed in the 1950s by the Alka Indians. His motto was, "It's no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." When I was talking to the Lord this morning, the Lord said this to me because Jesus said that he who forgiven much is loves much. And this is this one who's this great lover of Jesus, Mary of Bethany, Mary Magdalene. And again, he's the one, she's the one he reveals himself to in resurrection. That's so cool to me that he did that. His response to her great love for him. I don't know if anybody loved him more. Mary, his mother, John, but the scripture makes it really clear, this woman's amazing love for him. The Lord told me this morning. I just wrote it down on the side of this Bible. I crayon in my Bible. Those who love me most are those who are desperate to give me more. When she realized that he was going to give his all, she knew that she couldn't hold anything back. She had anointed his feet with that oil twice, but this time she came in response to him loving her so much that he was going to die for her, that she was going to give it all in response to him. I just think that's awesome. Those who love me most are those who are desperate to give me more. Instead of having to talk people into giving up an attitude or laying this down or this behavior down, those who love him most are desperate to give him more. She couldn't wait till he was buried, just 4 days after having already done this. She's doing it again, but this time with an expression of, you've given your all, you're going to give your all for me. And the only response that's adequate, that's sufficient, is for me to give my all to you. This is worship. And love is worship. Romans 12, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, in light of God's mercies, in light of his great love that had been revealed in the first 11 chapters of Romans, I beg you, I urge you, therefore, brethren, in light of God's love for you, to present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is the reasonable service of worship. What she did was the only reasonable thing. The gospel provokes that. So I want to say to us, to me, anytime we're still wrestling with it, we're going to give up something or give up this or give up this, that thing that Jesus is dealing with, the those who love him most are the ones who are desperate to give him more. Not desperate to protect or defend or excuse, but desperate to give him more. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.